your running fingers on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is going to be one place. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is not in the concordance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, put a marker there. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. How's everybody tonight? You awake?
Amen.
Okay. Anybody need a pillow? Blanket? Hey, listen, some folks said, listen, it was cold in here this morning, and it was cold up here. I turned the heater on, and it was blowing cold air. So, I've turned this off. I'm trying to let that cycle for a minute and try to raise it up just a degree or two to get the, just take the chill out of the air. Ben, you might want to try the same back there. Just turn it completely off, fan and everything, and let it sit just for a minute. Make it real quiet in here. It always was a distraction to me to have no fan on. You know, silence is deadly. And so when there's nothing on, I always like, something's wrong. I can hear people breathing. I can hear them snoring. I need to have a noise so that I can get distracted. 2 Corinthians 6 is one, and then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, so you can put a marker there. Did you guys get blank notes? Blank notes?
Yes.
Do we have extras? Anybody need one? Blank notes? Oh, we need several here. Do we have any back there? You know where they are? If there's any extras, if you can bring them down, that would be good. If you need a note sheet, raise your hand real quick. Okay, here's some. Oh, my. You split them up. There we go. Some down here. Good job, Daniel. While he's handing those out, keep your hands up if you need some. While he's handing those out, next Sunday night, in place of our evening service, is going to be a church-wide Sunday school activity night. If you are not currently enrolled or a part of a Sunday school class, we want you to sign up for the activity tonight out in the foyer, or you can see me afterward, and maybe you say, Pastor, what class activity should I go to? And we're going to be in different places doing different things. And so if you're not currently actively involved in one, we want you to be. And I was supposed to announce that this morning, didn't get to, but we're going to announce it tonight. We're going to get a hold of some people throughout the week and say, hey, listen, this is what we're doing. If you want to be a part of it, we want you to be a part of it as well. And so there's no evening service. So we don't come here and then go. We're just going to where we're going. And every Sunday school class is coordinating that. And so if you would like to, if you haven't signed up yet, if you are an active part of a Sunday school class, then you need to get with your Sunday school teacher and say, what are we doing, where is it, and when? They're going to get in contact with you and get all the details. So if you are not part of a Sunday school class and you need to be, and I believe that you do need to be, then sign up for that activity out there, and we'll put you with a group of people. I think that'll be a blessing to you. So if you want to be involved in that, that's next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Okay, I want you to write the title down tonight. Get a pen? You get to be who you want to be. You get to be who you want to be. We don't have any slides. Nobody here but us tonight. And we're gonna go through, I want to share with you some things from the Word of God, share you my heart, and just kind of some church experience and Christian experience and types of Christians that I've run across in the last 25 years. And then you get to decide who you want to be. You get to be who you want to be. Okay, so let's look at some passages of Scripture tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. He's talking about the spiritual immaturity of the church, all right? Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now he's getting to the part of the reason why there was such carnality and divisions and envying is because people were saying, basically, who led you to Christ? Whose disciple are you, or who made you a disciple of Christ? And they were debating back and forth. Well, Paul led me to Christ. Well, I was of Apollos. He's a better teacher than Paul was. Verse 5, who then is Paul? What's the big deal? This is Paul writing, by the way. Who is Apollos? But notice the word ministers. Okay, underline, circle that word. But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I, Paul writing, said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who?
God.
But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God is the one that gave the increase. He's the one that's really something. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are how many?
One.
So there are one team, have one purpose, one goal, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Can we make that statement together out loud? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Begin. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to every man as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now will you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6? So Paul's trying to rally this church to labor. He's trying to get to the root of the matter for the divisions so that he can get everybody on the same track, going the same direction with the same purpose. We're laborers together with God. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, which means that you can. It's possible to be saved. It's possible to have God give me grace and it be for naught. Not because grace does nothing or means nothing, but because I didn't allow it to do what it's supposed to do in me. That God would give me grace to be saved, and then he would give me grace to serve, but not have that grace in order to serve. That God would give me grace to witness, that God would give me grace to obey him in all matters, but that becomes in vain when God offers it and I don't do anything with it. Okay? I didn't let it be in vain. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry, that word needs to be circled, that the ministry be not blamed. So it's possible for the ministry to be blamed for some things. Okay? Things going wrong. And it's sad to say that there are a lot of carnal Christians, like the ones in Corinth, who would try their best to find something wrong with the ministry than to try to see everything that's right with the ministry. Okay, we're professional critics. Verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves, here's the word again, as the ministers of God. And here's how he's trying to prove that, approving. He's trying to get the approval, not just of God, but he's trying to make sure that he is approved. He's approving that which is right, or that which is edifying, that which is glorifying to God. How? How do you do that? How do you make sure that the ministry doesn't get blamed for difficulties or blamed for conflict? Well, you do it with much patience, he says. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, you just keep taking the grace of God and going forward in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, and he gives you the whole key to it, by the Holy Ghost. By love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, listen, that's impossible unless you go back up and read about the Holy Ghost in verse 6, and you go back up to verse 4 and say that I'm going to do all of those things in patience. With kindness. So we know that the product of the Holy Spirit is that. Long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, temperance. In no matter what. Distresses, in chastening and not being killed. In fastings, in honor and dishonor, evil report, good report. I'm going to walk and serve in the Spirit. So that no matter what happens, the ministry is never blamed. And I want the grace of God to get all the credit. I want God to get all the credit. Now remember, you can't take these two letters and leave off the other one. You go back and say, okay, now wait a minute. He said it's not about the one that plants or the one that waters. It's about God. That's the reason that we serve. That's the reason that we labor together with God. And he's saying, if God gives me grace to serve, then I don't want to just set it aside and say, well, I really don't need that. He gives me the grace to do what I need to do on purpose. And taking advantage of that is what Paul was all about. Because he didn't want the ministry to mean nothing. He didn't want it to be blamed for something that it was never meant to be. Now go to Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll pray and get right in here. Colossians chapter 3. Now in verse 22, the context is in working for someone. It talks about servants obeying all things your masters according to your flesh. But the next phrase is key, and it's repeated also in Ephesians chapter 6. The next phrase is key, I believe, for every Christian, because we ought not be man-pleasers. Okay? The Bible says in verse 22, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So we go back to what we talked about in Sunday school today and in church last Wednesday night. And that's talking about the fear of God and living in the fear of God and understanding what that means, all right? Now look what it says in verse 23 and 24. In light of not being men pleasers, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now notice these words, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Can we say that phrase, the last part of that verse, 24, together? Ready? Begin. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's say it again. For ye serve the Lord Christ. And let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we've read three different passages of Scripture inspired and written by the same man. And God, you used the Apostle Paul in an amazing way. And I believe the key is what he said in 2 Corinthians 6, that he didn't receive the grace of God in vain. That whatever you called him to do, he was of the mindset that you would enable him to do. And that as he did it, that what he did, that you and the grace of God and the ministry itself, the things that need to be taken care of, would never be blamed for any difficulty. And regardless of what may have happened or what would happen to the ministry and what difficulties would come, that your grace and the Holy Spirit of God was sufficient. And Lord, I pray that for our church, that you would help us to do just that. That if you gave us grace to be saved, that same grace is created unto us, that we have been created unto good works through Christ Jesus, that we should walk therein. And I pray that as we consider this matter of serving over the next several weeks, I just pray that you would give us understanding and stir in our hearts and help us to be yielded and willing to participate and to do all for the glory of God. I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way tonight, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would have liberty, not just with me, but in this place. And I thank you for these that are here, and I pray a blessing on their family tonight, and I pray that you'd bless their time tomorrow as the school is off. And I pray, Lord, for healing for those that are sick and strength for those that are weak. I pray, God, for wisdom for those who are deciding and trying to find their way. And I pray, God, that you would just pour your grace and mercy out on our ministry and help us to be effective. Be with those that are serving tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, a bunch of the friends in the neighborhood would get together to play, we would often kind of figure out what we were going to play. And sometimes it was cops and robbers. Sometimes it was almost at Hebrews. Sometimes it was, superheroes or whatever. And whatever we decided to play, you would get to, normally, as quick as you possibly can, you'd shout out who you wanted to be. For instance, if we were playing Cops and Robbers, I always wanted to be Starsky, because he had the cool Gran Torino. And my friend never wanted to be Hutch. In fact, it was so infectious in our neighborhood that for Christmas, all of us asked for Starsky and Hutch gun sets. That's back when guns didn't have to have little orange things on the end of them. We could actually have a black and tan 357 Magnum that was all plastic, and you could point it at cars when they went by, and no one was like, oh my goodness, that little kid has a gun. Now we don't do that anymore, because you get arrested. Brother Gridley is here. And so I always wanted to be Starsky, because he had the automatic. And because he had the Gran Torino, and he was just way cooler. Hutch had that nasty old Oldsmobile or whatever it was. It was just, you know what I'm talking about? How many know who Starsky and Hutch is? Several of you are old enough to remember that. And I always wanted to be Starsky. Many, many times my friend Jess would say, I want to be Starsky! And I'd be like, I hate you. I don't want to be Hutch. And I'd have the revolver, and I knew I could only shoot 6 times, and he could shoot 15 times. And I was like, this is no fun. My bike had to be that nasty Oldsmobile, and I'd have to ride that, and his bike got to be the, you know, just our imaginations were awesome, but we got to choose. Sometimes if we played superheroes, I would always call out Flash. Now, luckily, nobody else wanted to be Flash. They always wanted to be Superman or somebody that was really powerful. I just wanted to be the fastest guy on the block. And so I'd call out, I'm Flash, and I'd be like, okay, then we'd go run and we'd play. Sometimes if we played Star Wars, I wanted to be Luke, or I wanted to be Han. By the way, isn't it interesting, if you ever played Star Wars, no one says, I want to be Yoda. No one says that. Guy gets a bad rap. Maybe it's because he's the size of that speaker. I don't know. But nobody ever says, I want to be Yoda. You know, everybody always wants to be Han Solo. I want to be Luke Skywalker. On occasion, someone would say, I want to be Luke's father. You know, they want to be Darth Vader because they want to breathe or whatever. But whatever it was, you got to choose who you would be. That was your right. If you call it out, you do that. Did you know as a Christian, you get to choose what kind of Christian you want to be? Amen. You do. If you want to be a red-hot, sold-out Christian, you get to choose that. You can call that out every day. I choose to follow Christ. Amen. I choose to submit to the Holy Spirit. You get to call that out every morning. God gives you breath. You get to choose who you want to be in Christ. That's awesome to me. That God lets me choose. He didn't mandate that I get saved or mandate some other people get lost. He doesn't mandate me to obey. I get to choose that. Now, let's be honest. We'd be fools not to choose the right things. But sometimes we do. Isn't that interesting? That though we know to do right and don't do it, even though to us it's sin, we still choose it, isn't we? Well, we know not necessarily. You get to choose tomorrow. You get to wake up tomorrow and say, I choose to read the Bible. I choose to commune with God. I choose to walk with God. Oftentimes when I pray, I say, God, I'm coming to you as the God that walked with Noah. You're the same God. And I go through that. Okay, so I get to choose what kind of Christian I want to be. But did you know you also get to choose what type of church member you want to be? You get to choose that. You get to choose what type of servant in the body of Christ you want to be. Now I would ask you, what kind of a church member will you be? What kind of a church member will you be? Now it's clear from the Bible that God did not save you and I to do nothing. It's absolutely clear. He didn't pay a high price for your soul so that you could sit on the sidelines and be tempted to criticize everyone else in the game. He saved you to serve. Amen. Would you turn to Acts chapter 13 just for a couple of minutes? Acts chapter 13. Now, Paul's been converted. Philip's been used by God as the evangelist. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved and baptized down in Gaza. Philip's been transported. Saul has said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He takes off and he goes to Tarsus. Barnabas is sent by the disciples to find out what it is about this guy. He goes down to Tarsus. He receives him and he brings him back to Antioch. And there, Paul starts to grow and he starts to serve. Starts to serve faithfully. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, plenty of those, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and whom? And Saul. And then the Bible says, as they ministered. Okay? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, it's interesting to me what kind of church member Paul decided to be. In the midst of someone like Barnabas, who had sold all of his property in Cyprus and decided to lay it at the apostles' feet, caused a big stir, and we all know about that story, about Ananias and Sapphira. It's interesting to me that though he left, and though he was young in the faith, And didn't really know a whole lot about the Christian life. He had just gone to be with Jesus and to figure out, you know, his role in the world, and still not even knowing what that meant, he yielded himself to Barnabas, and he goes to this red-hot church. The Bible says when Barnabas got to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. Now remember, that's the same grace that Paul would later talk about at the church of Corinth saying, listen, I didn't receive the grace of God in vain. You could argue that the people at Antioch didn't either, because they were called Christians first at Antioch because of all that entailed. Now, it's interesting to me that though there were three or four or five other people teaching at Antioch, that Saul did not come back and say, well, it's apparent that you don't need teachers, but I'll just let you guys take all that. No, no, no. Saul chose what kind of church member he wanted to be. He chose to be a servant as they ministered. That word means to serve. It's doulos. It's a bond slave to God. He just gave himself over, and God put him in the teaching ministry of this church. Now, not only did he choose just to serve, he chose to be faithful at it as they ministered. As they continued to minister by the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't that I just choose to teach now and not choose later, and if I feel like it, I'm going to stop. He decided to be faithful at what he did. Does everybody know what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to do it continually. And I don't want it to be in vain. And that's the foundation of Paul's service. What will God have me to do? I'm going to choose to be this kind of a servant of God. I'm going to choose to be this type of church member. And as I do this, then I'm going to be able to go back and write to other people who choose to be some other kind of servant. And I'm going to try to encourage them. A good many, D.L. Moody said, a good many are kept out of the service of Christ, deprived of the luxury of working for God because they're trying to do some great thing. Let us be willing to do little things, and let us remember that nothing is small in which God is the source of. Now, when it comes to serving, the body of Christ, many of us would, like D.L. Moody said, like to hold out and wait for something grandiose rather than saying, look, if that's the need, then I want to serve. By the way, I honestly believe that's why Paul decided to be a teacher among them at Antioch, because there was a need. The grace of God was seeing people saved, and there were people that were just collectively needing to be discipled. And Paul, I'm sure, didn't feel secure in who he was, because his writing would say, though my speech was contemptible, and though my presence was not something that you would think of as, wow, there just goes some man of God, that he would say, look, if you need someone to disciple someone, I'll do it. Whatever the need was, Paul was willing to do it, because he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He surrendered that right. And so he wasn't looking for something great. He just decided, I'll just do whatever the need is. They made him a teacher. Printed in a London newspaper one Sunday afternoon decades ago was this line, quote, most people wish to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. Most people wish to serve God, but just in telling what others need to be done rather than doing it themselves. And that's true. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, believed that Christians should do all things wholeheartedly, not just those actions that can be seen. He reasoned, and I quote, as our Father makes many a flower to bloom unseen in the lonely desert, let us do all that we can do as under his eye, though no other eye ever take note of it. Now, we look at people like Hudson Taylor, we look at people like D.L. Moody, we look at people like Adoniram Judson, we look at people like David Livingston, people who are completely out of the ordinary and doing different obscure ministries all over the world in different capacities, and we would say, wow, some of the great quotes that I've ever given from this pulpit come from the people who never got seen by millions and billions of people. They were just servants of God. And what I'm saying is this, you get to choose what type of servant you're going to be. And our churches today, churches all across America, are filled with three types of Christian church members. I want you to write them down, okay? Number one, first of all, there are the consumers. I referenced this last Sunday night. To the consumer, Christianity and attending church service is all about them, about what they can get out of it. Their Sunday is comprised mostly trying to navigate the congregation carefully and as superficially as possible. These people are, as far as participating in any church programs or events, if the church is doing something fun, then they're in. But just until something else comes up. This is the consumer mentality. If it's inexpensive, I'm in. If it's convenient, I'm in. And they think if it's fun, then they should be signed up. Well, if it's going to be fun and it doesn't inconvenience me, it doesn't cost a whole lot of money, then I'm totally for it. This is the person that may or may not participate based on how they feel on a given day. Well, you know, Yeah, I checked. I ache down in the right quadrant of my left calf, and I better stay home. This is the consumer mentality. Their church experience is based on how other people treat them. Who shakes their hand? Does the music make me feel just right? Was my baby changed in the nursery? This is the consumer mentality. They pride themselves on expecting perfection from others, but given allowances to themselves. There's to be no expectation about their serving in ministry or attendance for that matter. After all, it's just a blessing that you see me here. The only time they think of others is during the sermon. That's a consumer. I know that that's exactly what they needed to hear. Now, sadly, Corinth struggled with plenty of these type of Christians, even in the first century. Now, the sad thing about that is that that breed of Christianity has not yet gone extinct. We still have consumers, okay? Consumers can be hit and miss with their attendance or sporadic, but neither if they're offended. You better not offend a consumer, they'll never be back, because it's about them. There's a second kind of church member, and that's the spectator, number two. The spectator. Now, much of the characteristics of a consumer could be seen in the spectator, but the spectator is a little different. Like the motion, he likes the motion at being at church. It's not an inconvenience necessarily. He likes the activity. He thinks it's rather neat. He likes the community of it. He likes the he's there regardless. He appreciates the people and may even. Maybe even the pastor for their effort, all those in serving. He certainly is appreciative. Normally speaks well of everybody, mostly because he doesn't know them yet. He may attend semi-regularly, but doesn't get involved. He won't volunteer, and if asked, will certainly have other commitments. These are the people that stand on the sidelines, and these are the ones that sit on the sidelines and watch others faithfully give and faithfully serve, but their heart isn't here. Though well, wishers, their greatest contribution to the church will normally be their compliments as they go out the door. Thank you. That was a great service. All of those type of things. That's the spectator. Now, I want you, underneath that, I want you to write a few letters down, or write a few words. They're all begin with C, okay? There is the community. And then under that one, there is the crowd. And then under that one, you can write the congregation. And under that one, you can write the core. Now, the community is the people who don't know whether we're here. They're the people that are in Morgan Hill and the South Valley in general, okay? The crowd is the people that come, whether regular or irregular, not a part of the congregation, but they come to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. In fact, if someone said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" they would even say, "Shadow Mountain Baptist Church." That's where they attend. Doesn't matter how regular or irregular, they would say that this is the place that they come to church. This is where they are. That's a part of the crowd. That's the general population. Then you have the congregation. Those are the people who are members. And those members are comprised of both consumers and spectators. And the third category that we're going to talk about in a minute. The idea is then who is the core? The core are the servants of the church. Those are the people who genuinely see themselves as Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. You see, some people see Shadow Mountain Baptist Church as something that they go to on the weekends. That's something that they facilitate on a Sunday morning or on occasion on Wednesday night because they have their kids in Awana. But to the core, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is not something that they go to. Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is who they are. They are a part of the local, independent body of Christ, subject to the chief shepherd. His name is Jesus. They have been baptized. They have the idea that if this place is going to be what God wants it to be, then it's going to be through me, and I'm going to be the third category of Christian I want you to write down, and that's a distributor. A distributor. Now, many people in the crowd and the congregation, and by the way, the goal is to get the community to be a part of the crowd so that they can come be a part of the congregation, disciple them so they can be a part of the core. That's the idea. That's the whole idea behind that philosophy, is identifying people where they are. Now, how do we get them from community to the congregation to the core? That process is where all of us come in. It's where all of us grab a part, that we grab an oar, we grab a part of the rope, whatever it is, and we say, I want to be a part of the core. So I get to decide what type of church member I'm going to be, and based on the type of church member I'm going to be, will put me in what category I am in, whether I'm just a part of the crowd or I'm a part of the congregation, actually, or if I want to be a part of the core that makes up everything that happens in this church. Okay, now, obviously, it would be amazing if everybody that walked through those doors on Sunday morning came back Sunday night and Wednesday night and they said, we are all part of the core. That would be amazing. That'd be revival. That would be genuine revival. It's that process that has to be committed to by someone other than the pastor. It has to be. Because I am not the church alone. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. I'm not the church alone. I don't make up the church. So it's not just my responsibility, but it's my responsibility to help you to try to get engaged and involved in doing that one thing. So my point in saying that, even at the beginning of church tonight, is what kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of church member do you choose to be? I want to be Starsky. Get it? Nobody ever says, I want to be Hutch. Nobody ever says, I want to be Yoda. Few people, even when they got saved, said this, I want to be a servant. No, I didn't. I wanted to be a teacher of adults. And I got put in this 2 and 3-year-old class. It's awful. So, you see what I'm saying? We want to do some great thing, and God says, wait a minute. What I want to do before you actually do something is I want you to decide to be something. And that's where Paul got it right. He said, listen, I'm the chiefest of sinners, and all I am is a servant. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I want to be a minister. Three times, three different passages, two different churches, Paul uses the word ministry and ministers and says, that's what laborers are. And we're not laboring independently, we're laboring together with God. Now watch, here's what a distributor is. These are the Aquilas and Priscillas of every church. Okay? They are the ones who see the need and take the lead. We have several of those in our church. One couple in particular is Steve and Nancy Keene. Everybody in this church, there's no one person I've ever met in this church that would ever come to me and say, you know that Steve and Nancy, they don't do nothing. They're the laziest couple. They don't give. They don't love anybody. They certainly talk behind your back. No. In fact, saying that is an insult to the name of Steve and Nancy Keene. All right? And I'm mentioning them because they don't want me to mention them. Because they like serving and nobody knowing about it. They like giving and nobody knowing about it. They like just serving the Lord. And by the way, they have done it for almost 20 years. Or at least 20 years. They've just served and served and served. That's the Aquila and Priscilla. Now, why is it that they've done it for 2 decades? Because they chose 2 decades ago. They said, I just want to do whatever needs to be done. So they taught children's church forever. They have cleaned this church. They have served in this church. They have worked outside and inside. They've gone soul winning. They've done every aspect of this ministry except preach. Nancy's always wanted to. She does sometimes on Thanksgiving. But the fact of the matter is, no, never mind. I'm not going to go down there. We're going to digress very quickly. Okay. Now watch. These are the Aquilas and Priscilla of every church. And would to God, listen, if you want to be an Aquila Priscilla, wouldn't it be awesome if you could put your name in there? Man, I would love that. The Kyle and Cammies of Shadow Mountain, the Dave and Kayla's of Shadow Mountain. If you could put your name in there, you've decided, I want to be that. Whatever Paul needed, wherever he was, what did they do when Apollos came on the scene and never heard about the baptism of Christ? They expounded to Apollos, someone that needed to know greater. They expounded Apollos' scriptures and talked to him about the baptism of Christ. They were helpers. They were tent makers. These are ones that see the need and take the lead. They're the servants of the body of Christ. These are the people committed to the building of the church, the laborers together with God. They're committed to the unity of church. They're committed to the morale of the church. The service of these Christians is all about the Lord, not about themselves and how to please him. They don't care if people see them. They're people who are skillful in the word of righteousness, and strong meat belongs to them because they have exercised their reason by the truth to know both good and evil. They just decided, this is the kind of Christian I want to be, and because that's the kind of Christian I want to be, as I study the word of God, my reason says, then that's the church member I want to be. That's the kind of church member. They enjoy the services and get the most out of them because they just don't take in or receive. Listen, they distribute. Now, there's three things they distribute. You can write these down. First of all, they distribute the gospel. These are the distributors. Why? Because the gospel was never put into me to stay just with me. It was meant to be distributed. Go, teach all nations. What? Whatsoever things I've taught you. And lo, I'm with you always. They're distributors of what? The gospel. They realize that it's necessary to be a willing witness for Jesus Christ. They may not even be very confident or very versed, but they are certainly willing and available for the Holy Spirit to lead them. They may not know all the verses. They may not even know where to find all the verses, but they're willing to go to a class to learn. They may be willing to ask someone to go with them. They're willing. Lord, I don't even know what to say, and I'm fearful of what to say, but if you put me there, I'll do my best, and I'll stumble, fumble all over the gospel, and if someone gets saved, it will obviously be because of you. That's what they do. They distribute the gospel because they know that the gospel wasn't meant just for them. That the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus became the propitiation of our sins, but not for ours only. They don't get to pick and choose. They're distributors of the gospel. Secondly, they're distributors of grace. I go back to what Paul said. I didn't get the grace of God so that it could be in vain. No. I want to display that ever. Does not the Bible say, let your communication be seasoned with salt and grace to the use of edifying of others? They edify each other. They endeavor to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace because the grace that they received of God wasn't just for them. Look, when you stand and you teach a class, when you go in and you love on children and you let parents have the sense of security that you're going to take care of their children, watch over their children, and minister to them so that they can go get preaching, when you go and you help in a Sunday school class, when you go and help in Vacation Bible School, when you decide that you want to get involved in serving the body of Christ, then what are you saying? I want to build up these people so that when they leave here, that they're going to be encouraged to walk with God, not discouraged to walk with others. They're going to be helped. They endeavor by the grace of God. I go back to that passage often where Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, though it would be in afflictions, and though there'll be necessities, and though there'll be distresses, and though we're going to suffer stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors, by pureness, by knowledge, by loving kindness, by long-suffering, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Paul was all about, I did not receive this so that I could sit on it. I received this so I could distribute it. They distribute the gospel, they distribute grace. Thirdly, they distribute their gifts. Now, every Christian, when they're born again, is given or has built in them a gift, a spiritual gift by God. If there's anybody in our church that has the gift of hospitality, I believe it's Cassie Castleberry. If anybody. There's any woman I've ever met in my life that has it for sure, is she's addicted to it. It's like a drug. She loves, listen carefully, and if you don't know her, you need to know her. She loves to be around God's people. She loves it. She hates it that we don't have a church directory. We may have one day. I'm just going to put the carrot out in front of the horse a little bit so she can get excited about it. But the fact of the matter is, she loves to be around God's people. Now, she's going to help us with something here in a couple of weeks, and you're going to understand, man, there's nobody better suited to do that than her. And what does she want to do? She wants to exercise that gift. She wants to use that gift. What does she want to do? That means to give it away. Sandy Williams has a special gift of teaching and an eye and a hand for art. This year she said, this year she was able to do it. She gives of her time every week to teach art to our students. And does a tremendous job. My son said to me a few weeks ago, now remember here just a few years ago, or about a year and a half ago, he was dead set. He was probably going to be a preacher. The other, here about 3 or 4 months ago, he said, you know, Dad, I said, he goes, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I'm thinking maybe I'm an artist. I didn't say, well, you know, artists starve and they don't have a place to live. I didn't say that. I really didn't. I don't want to pop his bubble. She's like, you better not. But the fact of the matter is, what is she doing? She's giving her gift away. Let me ask you a question. What gift are you giving away? How has God gifted you? There are people in this room that have the gift of giving. And you like to give. You like to give to people. And you're not exercising that. And you need to be. There's people who just, they really don't feel like they're gifted, or they even have a desire to take something and own it. But they have a heart to help. And it's a gift of helps. I don't know necessarily, but if there's something that I can do, man, I just want to do it. I just want to be a help. I marvel. Mrs. Ingram was my first grade teacher in Sunday school when I was growing up in my church. And I honestly believe she must have been 80 years old when she taught me. She must have been. But you know what? I still remember her class. I still remember the love that she had for all of her kids. And, you know, for a while, I thought it was just me. I thought I was her favorite student. And then I realized the reason I thought that is because I was always the one getting the most attention. And it wasn't always the best kind of attention. But I just thought, well, she just really loves me. And it wasn't that. It was that she was trying to keep me out of trouble. So she always had me sit next to her. And she always had me sitting next to her when she taught or when she did a craft or whatever. Because if I wasn't next to her, you know the story. And but what did Miss Ingram do? Did you know, I believe that woman probably, that woman was my best friend, Ricky Austin's grandmother, and she taught, I know she had to have taught for more than 50 years. I know it. She had the gift to teach. Oh my, so I still remember putting on my little like mini doctor's coat, getting out the butcher paper, and we'd go and we'd draw, and she'd want us to paint stuff, and so we wanted us to paint Jesus getting out of the tomb or paint Jesus on the boat or disciples and stuff. We'd do that stuff, and she'd get the craft stuff out, and we'd make all kinds of stuff and sit down and tell us a Bible story. And I didn't mind going in there because she distributed. She was giving of herself. And by the way, that's what a true servant does. Is they give of themselves, and then however God's gifted them. Some of there are people in the church that are gifted being a handyman or helping and stuff like that, and service or woodwork. There are people in here that are great with numbers, and there are people that are just willing to do lots of things. Well, there are lots of things to do, and yet so many people just sit on the sideline. They don't get involved. Last Sunday night was an amazing service, and although I didn't think it would turn out to be that way, but God certainly did it. And afterward, there were so many people that just volunteered to do stuff. They were going to different people saying, man, I'm in. I had people say to me, you know, if you have a need, I'll just keep my name in the back of your mind and think, man, I'm going to call them. They said if I needed help, that I could count on them. And that was an encouragement. But it goes without saying that there are enough things to do in the ministry that everybody could be involved in some way, form, or fashion. And the more people we get involved, the better off our church is. The more our church is helped, the more it functions properly. We don't want people sitting on the sidelines who are not injured. We want them to be actively in the game. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Do you understand? These are the workers that grab the rope and pull the body of Christ along. They grab an oar or just start rowing and start rowing or they pick up a shovel, and they pick up a songbook, they pick up a Bible, they grab a towel and they wash feet. They grab a rag and clean a mirror, or a broom and sweep a floor, and they grab a gas mask and change a diaper. They do whatever it takes to do to help, okay? Now watch. Here's the key. They're happy to do it. They're happy to do it. Why? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. They're happy to do it because they're not doing it for me. They're not doing it even for each other. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 23, whatsoever you do, it's because they do it heartily, and they do it unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And let's be honest. When most of the people who serve with that kind of heart, they're not actively seeking. They're not actively thinking while they're cleaning the toilet or while they're serving in the nursery or they're teaching a class. They're not actively saying, man, there's going to be rewards up in heaven for me doing this. That's not what they're actively doing. They're not thinking about that. They're just doing it heartily unto the Lord. It's not because of the Lord. Because really, let's just think about it. As a servant of God, I've already received way more than I'm going to be worth receiving when I get to heaven. I've already got way more than I could possibly ask for. Because when this life is over, there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears. It's all over. And all I'm going to do is sit in heaven and praise Jesus for the rest of eternity. Amen. Now, that is enough. And it ought to be enough. And for Paul, it was enough. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have a ministry fair. And there are going to be 14 people that are going to get in this pulpit and they're going to have 2 or 3 minutes and they're going to say, here's the ministry that God has put me involved in, and here's why I think you should pray about being involved in this ministry. Okay? And there are going to be tables all over this place, and we're going to have cards made that says, count me in. There's going to be a place for a name, phone number, and an email address. And after I give a short charge, after they give their 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and after they put that ministry out there before you and give you the opportunity, these cards, you're going to have however many that you want. You can take one card, we'll give you five, we'll give you 10 cards. And for every ministry that you feel that God would have you be a part of, you just fill out your name, phone number, and email address. Then after it's all over, you can go by their table. Instead of standing in line to sign your name up, you just take the card and put it in the box. And go to the next one, put it in the box. Go to the next one, put it in the box. See, why are you trying to streamline it? Because I'd like to eat right after that. Like to have a fellowship after that. See, why are you doing this? Because I'd like to see everybody at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church being Aquila or Priscilla. Now, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the night, you get to choose. I'll be Aquila. I'll be Priscilla. Because there are still some Demases who will choose the way of the world instead of the ministry. That's up to them. But what are you going to want to be? What type of Christian do you going to choose to be? What type of church member will you be? And I believe that when we all get involved, that God is pleased. And I think when we all get involved, the labor is easier. You heard Rachel last week say, if we filled however many slots, we would be cleaning. She sent me an email praising Jesus the next morning. If we get all these slots, you'll only have to clean once every 4 months. The next morning, praise God, I only have to clean once every 4 months. You know, and it wasn't because she was complaining. She was overwhelmed by the grace of God and people saying, I'll help. And yet I still believe there are other people that will help and need to help. She said, well, I don't have any skills. You can wipe a mirror down. You can mop a floor. You can clean a window. Clean a toilet if you had to. There's a lot of things that we can do if we would all just say, you know what, this is our church. This is who we are. This is us. So let's get to work. Let's get busy. I'll give a short charge that night. We'll put it out there for everybody. And then you get to decide. You want to be a greeter? We need people in count teams. But I'm not going to have people count money who don't give. That'd be hypocritical. I don't want people collecting and counting money who are not faithful givers. Somebody please say amen. That's just the reality. We need people to do that. I want people to, I think that we, by the way, we need to split our Awana class. We do. And that class is going to need helpers. And we need people to do that. I told some of the people before church, I said, you know, our problem has never been a lack of people who want to do and want to serve. It's just always been the same 8 or 10 people. If you have the same 8, 10, 12 people in the choir, the same 8 or 10, 12 people that serve in the nursery, same 8 or 10, 12 people that do Awanas, same 8 or 10. And the tragedy with that is pretty soon those 8 or 10 people, 8 or 10 or 12 people don't want to do anything anymore. They get burnt out because there are too many consumers. Or there are people on the sideline that have become spectators and they're just watching everyone else serve themselves to death. And God says, no. We are laborers together with God. Let's say that together. We are laborers together with God. So between now, 2 weeks from now, on February 3rd, that night, I want you to choose what type of church member you want to be. I want you to choose what type of Christian you want to be. Do that tonight before you go to bed and determine tomorrow morning what you need to do in order to make that happen. What type of Christian do you want to be? Do you want to be more than a conqueror? Or do you want to be defeated? Do you want to walk in the joy of the Lord? Or not. You get to choose that. And we get to have communion with the Almighty God. And that should be the goal. That should be enough. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for being so gracious. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve. We thank you, Father, for giving us a place to serve. We thank you for saving us to serve. God, we thank you for your example of service as you were here on this earth. You came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give yourself a ransom for many. I would that that would be the spirit in our church tonight and every day. And I pray, God, that as we go forward in the next couple of weeks, that you would help, Lord, us to, that you would just reveal to us more Aquilas and Priscillas, more people who are willing to serve, whether it's in the front of the scene or behind the scenes, regardless that we would not be do it, that we would never do it as men pleasers. Lord, we're not, for those of us here on a Sunday night, we're not in this for acclamation or even for appreciation. Lord, we're in this. We are the church and we serve because of you. We serve because we want to and gladly. And so I pray that you would be honored and pleased in our church tonight. Pray that you'd bless and minister to these ones that are here. In Jesus' name I pray. With your heads bowed.